turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles around some of the seats around you. I believe it's around page 480 or 481. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. This is, as Brian was mentioning, our series March Forward and Make History. And this is the last of this message series right here. And I hope that we can, from this series, have an understanding of how to read, how to study God's Word a little bit more. There's so many ways to look at God's Word, so many ways to study God's Word. But let's just read it. The first thing we need to do when we study God's Word is read it. So let's read it, all right? Verse 9. This is where we left off at verse 8 last week. Let's start at verse 9. Here is Paul, and just to preface and context this again, this is Paul. This is at the end of his life. This is the last message that he wrote to this is the last letter that is known that Paul wrote before he died. And he wrote it to Timothy, who he called a beloved son in the Lord. Timothy was a pastor, a young pastor in the church of Ephesus. And he's writing this from a dungeon. He's not just in house arrest. The first time he wrote 1 Timothy, he was in a house that he purchased and was held there captive, so to speak. And had lots of visitors coming in and out of the house. When he wrote 2 Timothy, he was thrown back into jail. But this time he was in a real jail. He was in a dungeon writing this. And so didn't have many people visit him. And this is where you're going to hear a little bit of some of the people. He talks about some of the people here in just a moment. And so again, this is Timothy's last letter to a young pastor, someone that he calls a son in the Lord. And so it's again, these are the last words, the last verses we see here. So verse 9, Paul is telling to Timothy, "Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus, I don't know, I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace with you. Amen." Those are a lot of tongue twisters in there, all right, for those names. Let's jump up to verse 9. It says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." Now you have here Paul, again, towards the end of his life, and we're going to read through all four chapters here in a little bit. I'll try to go through this a little bit quickly. But here you have Paul at the end of his life, and you can make a case to say that maybe he's feeling a bit lonely, right? But he's telling Timothy, his beloved son, someone that he loves very much, you might not be able to say he's lonely. We don't really know, all right? That's speculation, okay? But perhaps you can gather from the words, if you do a study on loneliness, this scriptures might come up to you, okay, when you do a study on them. In any case, here you have Paul saying, "Come to me quickly, be diligent, hasten," is the word that you see there in King James. "Hasten to come to me quickly." That means, don't be casual about this, Timothy. Don't just take your time, okay? Know when you see those words to be diligent or hasten, okay? It means that there's some urgency on that word. It means, hey, you need to get to it. All right, start marching. Come on, get a step. Let's go. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Quickly. Hasten. Quickly. Okay? Be diligent to come to me quickly. So again, it's not Timothy saying, hey, take your time. When things get better or things calm down, come to me. Say, no, you come to me as soon as you can, right now. Come. Come on. Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me. Now, Demas was someone that had been a faithful worker with Paul. You can find other scriptures, you can find Demas, All right? And he was someone that worked alongside with Paul. He was someone that was working in the gospel with Paul. And again, you'll find him in many other scriptures. Not only say many others, but you'll see him in some of the other epistles that he writes where he talks about demons, how Demas is with me, a fellow worker with Christ, with me here. And now, at the end of his life, and Demas is here, and Demas now says that Demas has forsaken me, or you can also say abandoned me. This is not just that Demas, oh, he left and went to go do something else. No, Demas has forsaken. He has abandoned me where I was at. He left me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Okay, I don't know if that's where the party was at, Thessalonica, or what. But he says that he loved this present world. He loved it. You know, we always have to come to those crossroads and do, are we going to love this present world more than we love God? More than we love what he wants us to do? And we have to cut off the love for the world. But here you have Demas, where even though he was following God, pursuing God, he still had a love for this world. That love for his world took him away. It drifted him. It took him away. I want to read this thing that I was reading in one of my studies here. And I thought it was quite profound. And I feel this for us here. Demas lost the scent. A man bought a new hunting dog. Eager to see how the dog would perform, the man took him out to track a bear. No sooner had they gone to the woods than the dog picked up the trail. Suddenly he stopped, sniffed the ground, and headed in a new direction. He had caught the scent of a deer that had crossed the bear's path. A few moments later he halted again, this time smelling a rabbit that had crossed the path of the deer. On and on it went until finally the breathless hunter caught up with his dog, only to find him barking triumphantly down the hole of a field mouse. Sometimes Christians are like that hunting dog. We started on the right trail, following Christ. But soon our attention is diverted to things of lesser importance. One pursuit leads to another until we strayed far from our original purpose. Apparently this is what happened to one of the Apostle Paul's companions. For Paul wrote to Timothy, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Every day, we must renew our dedication to Christ, or we will be drawn away by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. These worldly influences can divert even the most devout Christian. We easily pick up another scent and follow another trail, perhaps the pursuit of wealth, power, prestige, or pleasure. When we realize that that has happened, we must admit our waywardness and ask God to get us back on the right trail." I thought that was just a profound thing there, that how easy it is to lose a scent. Again, you have someone that was a worker that was with the great Apostle Paul. You would think, how could you get lost if you're with this guy? Well, it wasn't that he was with the guy, it's that he was also with the world. And that's how he got lost, is that he followed another trail. He didn't get lost following Paul's trail. He got lost following another trail. And so it's important to take note of that, and he mentions Demas here. And you see him talking, Paul talking very candidly about a lot of people here. Now let me say this, he's not talking about all these people with just anybody. He's talking about these people with Timothy. This is who the letter is addressed to. You know, and Paul is trying to warn Timothy, trying to teach Timothy about people, about human nature, about understanding things, that also he can be careful and be aware and not fall into some of the same traps. Not fall into some of the same, to have understanding, to not be emotionally distraught when these things happen to him. So let's keep going here. It continues on here that he is apart from Thessalonica, and then Cretans, which is another gentleman, for Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia. Now these guys didn't say that they pursued the world. Okay, these were just this is afterwards, because Titus, he wrote Titus right after here. I'm sorry, not right after. Titus, he was another pastor, okay? And so he wrote to Titus, and so Titus was following God, but it was this guy Demas who stopped. He put in verse 11 here, "Only Luke is with me." Now Luke was a doctor. Luke was a doctor who wrote he wrote the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke was written by a doctor. And here you have Luke who also wrote the book of Acts, and perhaps a few other books. We're not sure, okay? But here you have Luke who is with Paul, which explains how this letter is getting out, because Luke was the writer. Now, usually doctors have really bad handwriting, but somehow Luke had pretty good handwriting because he was able to write these letters out, and we have them here today. So Luke was the doctor, but he was also, by some means, a writer, and he was the one who was writing this down, and so he was with Paul at this time. But look what he says here right after. He says, "Only Luke is with me." Then he tells Timothy another thing here. "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me to ministry." Now, this might not mean much if we don't know the context of what he's talking about. Mark was there's a gentleman named John Mark. Okay, that when Paul was going out traveling, this gentleman came with him, and then all of a sudden he was one that left Paul. He was a guy that said, you know, I'm going to leave. I'm not going to be around. You know, he decided to walk off on a mission. And Paul had it with this guy. He was ticked off. And then you have Barnabas, who is said also to perhaps be the cousin of this guy, John Mark. And Barnabas, when Paul and Barnabas were about to go back and visit the churches, Barnabas said, let's bring Mark with us. And Paul was like, I don't think so. You're not bringing this deserter with me. Okay? Now, if you want the scriptural references, I'm giving you a summary, okay? Acts 13:13, Acts 15:36, and Colossians 4:10, okay? You can take a look at some of these scriptures here to check about John Mark, all right? And his story. I'm just giving you a synopsis. And so Barnabas is like, no, this guy's coming with us on this journey. And Paul's like, uh-uh. So all of a sudden, Paul and Barnabas, the super team, parted ways. And Barnabas went with Mark, and Paul went with Silas. Okay, and they went out on the missionary journey. And so here you have this coming back, and there was a time here in Colossians where you see where Paul started to soften his heart about Mark. Because Mark started to go out. He was going with Barnabas, and he seemed to prove himself faithful. You know, where he wasn't faithful before. And when Paul even told in Colossians, he said, look, when Mark comes to you, receive him, welcome him. Welcome him as a fellow worker. And here you have, now bring Mark to me now. Here's the end of his life. And you see a restoration of someone who wasn't faithful. Perhaps like a Demas. I don't know why Mark left, John Mark left. But here now Paul is calling Mark, saying, hey, Timothy, when you come, bring Mark with me. He is useful to me for ministry. Because before he wasn't. Before Barnabas says, no, this guy's not going to be useful to us in ministry. Okay, that's why you see these words here, like useful for ministry. That's kind of, well, you understand, before he wasn't useful, before he was a deserter, before Paul did not accept him anymore because he didn't want to go on this dangerous mission journey with someone who wasn't reliable. But now, Paul, you see a restoration, you see a forgiveness, you see someone that proved himself faithful. And now Paul is calling him back to himself and saying, bring him with you, please. All right. And let's keep going here. Verse 12. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. So here's someone I sent away. Bring the cloak that I have left with Carpus at Troas when you come. So here's a cloak that he left. Now, some of the scholars think that perhaps when he was in Troas, he knew he was about to be arrested. So he left his precious cloak with this person over here, okay? And so he's telling Timothy, go get my cloak. Obviously, he didn't have much earthly possessions. He's in a dungeon. What did he have that it was his own? He said, hey, bring this cloak. Because usually when they arrest you, they take everything away and strip it from you. Okay, back then. So he had the cloak and he said, bring it with me and then bring my books, especially the parchments. The parchments are really the scriptures. Bring the scriptures with me. Bring the scriptures with you. You can see that even Paul, the great apostle at the end of his life, still valued the reading of scriptures and the understanding of it. Even though you could say that he had one of the greatest revelations that anyone in Christianity ever had of who Christ was, of what grace was, of how the work of the gospel, the purpose of Christ, he still said, bring me the parchments, bring me the books, bring me the scriptures. Even at the end of my life, I still want to read. I still want to jump into here and understand. I think that's an important lesson for all of us, that you never get too old to stop growing. You never get too old to stop growing. Never. Next one. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Okay, so here you have Paul saying, hey, there's this bad dude out there. All right, and he talks about Alexander in other scriptures. He said, this guy did me much harm. May the Lord repay him. He's like, I'm washing my hands, but Lord, may you repay him for what he did. Okay, because this guy resisted. It says here in the next verse that he resisted my words. Okay. It says, first he tells, verse 15, you also, Timothy, must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Now, you know, it would have been right for Timothy to say, well, look, you know, look, Paul, this guy might have been mean to you, but he's been nice to me, so I'm not going to, you know, whatever, Paul. Although this is oftentimes what we do in our day and age. But I say this, that Paul was telling his younger son, Timothy, in the Lord, saying, look, you need to be careful. He might not have done you any harm yet, Timothy, but he will, because this is his nature. This is what he does. He's resisting the truth. He's doing so. Be careful, Timothy. He has greatly resisted our words. Okay? Our words. Verse 16. At my first offense, no one stood with me. That's a lonely place right there. When he was being attacked, when Paul was being attacked, no one, all these fellow workers that were with him, no one stood with him. No one. He was left alone to stand against accusations, against people saying things about him, and he stood alone. He said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Now, you could also say that perhaps this is his first defense in Rome when he was defending himself. I don't know. But it says, he is a prayer here. May it not be charged against them. It says, but all forsook me, and may it not be charged against them. That's a very forgiving prayer right there. That, Lord, even though all these people that I've invested in, they didn't stand with me during the hard times. But Lord, I pray that you don't charge it against them, God. Alexander the coppersmith, charge it against him. But these other guys that left me, that I love, Lord, don't charge it against them. He says here, verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So even though all these guys left me, the Lord was with me. He strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me. That's a revelation that I can't quite get into right now. Right? So that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, I don't know of any lions that Paul encountered, okay? I believe this is figurative. I could be wrong, okay? But I believe this is figurative. They're saying, out of the mouth of the lion, the Lord delivered me. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, here's the end. And if you look at most of Paul's letters, you'll see a greeting at the end. Greetings are very important to Paul. Greeters are very important to the church. I got word my mom was visiting a church, and she said, you know, this church had no greeters. No one greeted me. No one loved me. And here you have Paul at the end of his life, the last words, he's giving a greeting from others. He's telling, first of all, you know, you greet them in my name, but here, I want you to greet these people. These people greet you, Timothy, because these greetings were important. Some of this might seem small and insignificant, was still important. And Paul finished almost most of his letters like this. He says, greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Winter is going to be tough, Timothy. Please come before winter time. Eubulus greets you. Look, he's telling Timothy, look, hey, this guy I encountered, he wanted to tell you his greeting. I'm passing on this precious letter that's being written to you. Last letter, greetings. I don't think we even understand greetings and how important that is. I think greeters are one of the most important positions in the church. All right, people would judge a church on the greeter before they'll judge. They'll say that they want to come to church based on a greeter, even if they hear the message or not from the pastor. Do you know that? You might not know that. Any case, I'll tell you that a lot of people will judge a greeter right at the door, or if they don't get greeted, they'll judge right there. Do I want to be this church or not? Are they friendly? Are they loving? Are they greeting me? So here, Eubulus greets you as well as Pudens, Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, there's a lot. For sake of time, I don't want to get into everything here. But you know, it's interesting that Paul talks about individuals here. He says, this is the one. He says, you, Timothy, you come see me quickly, Timothy. You come with me. And when you come, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring Mark when you come. All right? I want you to bring my cloak. I want you to bring my parchments and my books. I want you also to greet these people for me. I want you to come before winter. And I want you to know that these people greet you, and I want you to know that I'm praying for you. Okay? And then he talks about the ones that have left him. He talked about Demas. He talked about the others who have left, but not necessarily in a bad way. Talking about Cretans and Titus. He talked about the one who stayed with me, Luke. He talked about the one that he sent for. He sent for Mark to come to him. He talks about the one who did him much harm, Alexander. He talks about the one who didn't stand with him. The people that didn't stand with him. He talks about God, how God did stand with him, how God strengthened him. He talked about the one who stayed in the cities and the ones that he left behind. So here you just talk about, you hear, see Paul talking about a bunch of individuals. Who went, who came, who needs to come, who to stay away from. He's given the report saying, look, Timothy, you need to be careful. Here's some instruction, and that's it. Amen. That's all. Now, what I want to do here in closing up is I want to read through the whole scripture starting 2 Timothy 1. So you can turn there in just a second to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we want to read all of that. But I also want to point out here that there's a lot of lessons that we can gather from these scriptures here. And I can't get into all of them, but there's some things that we should first look at, that we should try to understand. That you know, when you look at a scripture, when you start getting the scriptures, I encourage you to read at least 40 days in a row the scriptures. But first you need to start reading them. Before you even study, you need to start reading them and say, okay, I want to read what it says. We don't want to understand the context of what it's being said. Okay? Some of the background. Look, there's so much stuff online. You can look. One of my favorite study tools is BlueLetterBible.com. There's BibleGateway.com. There's Logos. There's Olive Tree. There's tons of Bible software out there on the internet. All you have to do is type in Bible and you'll find tons of stuff up there. Okay? And there's different ways to study out the Bible. But you can do a character study. You can study out, let's say, the life of Timothy, the life of Paul. You can do a word study. You can study out what does forsaken mean? What does love mean? What does prayer mean? What does joy mean? You can do a study on word and start looking those things up. You can do a theme. Perhaps at the end of here, you can gather the theme of commitment, you know, from what Paul is talking about here, about those that were committed to him, those that weren't committed to him, the one who was always committed to him. You can gather a theme from what's being said and do a study on the theme. You can do a topical study, perhaps loneliness, you know, in ministry here. Or what it is, the prayers of Paul. And then you want to figure out, how did this apply? What was Paul applying this to? I want to give you again how to say, I can catch a fish and give you a fish, but if I can teach you how to fish, that will serve you greater good than me just giving you a fish. That's what I'm trying to do here. That's what part of this series is trying to do for us as well, is that we can learn how to get into the Word, how to study it in of ourselves, okay? So there's many different kinds of ways to study the Word of God, and I'm just giving you a few here, okay? But you can also look, you want to look at how did this apply back then? How does it apply right now? How does it apply in this day and age, and how does it apply to me? And then at the end, say, God, what are you saying to me from all this? So you want to look, what is it saying? What is the Bible? Who is it applying it to? First of all, who is he speaking this to? What are the points that I see here? How could this apply? What kind of lessons could I learn from this? Next, what is the lesson that God is trying to teach me in this? For me, what jumped out of this last verses that we read was Demas. Demas, this was the word that just seemed to jump out at me, was Demas and how he left and turned away. And that's what stuck out of me. Also stuck out of me how God wants us to be Timothy's. So if I'm to look at how we just read the scriptures here, what I feel God's saying to us is, hey, look at Demas. Be careful. Don't lose your scent. You can be a fellow worker in Christ, but don't lose your scent. I also believe he's telling us to look, be a Timothy. Be a Timothy. Be a Timothy. And I also, there's a lot of other things that perhaps you sense that God's telling to you from this. But I want to encourage you to listen, hear what God is speaking, and go from there. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1, and we're going to close out by reading these scriptures here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And what I want to do is that I'm reading these scriptures. As we read through the four chapters, and we'll close. I was hoping that I'd have time, but we kind of took our time here to talk about and reflect what we felt God saying to us from this study. From marching forward and making history. But what I want us to do here today is, as we're reading the scriptures, I want you to see what God has been speaking to you through this series. What has jumped out to you as we're looking through this, okay? So 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I hope that these scriptures are more richer to you now that we've gone through this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are that guy and that other guy. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he has refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of God, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Those two other guys are of the sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they have overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, verse 19, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Come on, next chapter. But know this, that in the last day perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and apostles will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 4, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all these things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. When you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. And at my first defense no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Then be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's everyone stand here with me today, please. I hope as we read those scriptures that it's a little more richer, that there's some things that stand out to you a bit more as we read that. You can read that, and sometimes we'll just read and just pass on by, but you can see how studying the words can bring more nourishment to your soul from the scripture by looking, digging into the Word of God. So for those of you that have been here with us, I hope that you see some of the benefits and the fruit of that. But at the same time, more than anything, I want you to hear what God's speaking to you. For those of you that are dealing with troubles in your body, in your soul, look at what Paul said. That God, he said this in a dungeon. God will deliver me from every evil work. He will preserve me. He will preserve me. So here you have Paul's faith intact. He said, I have fought the good faith. I run the race. I have fought the good faith. He kept going. And so I want to encourage us here that we keep going, that we know the Lord will deliver us. But also, as we read these scriptures in the present right now, know what God is speaking to you. Know what God is saying to you from what we read here. I know I just did a mouthful. That was a lot. I get that. But again, we've been tracking with this for a while now. So what is God saying to us from these scriptures? So let's pray. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, I want to encourage you just to receive whatever God was speaking to you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for your word, for your scripture, Lord God, that there is so much nourishment in there. I pray, God, that we would hear what you are speaking to us, that our ears would be open, that our eyes would be open, that our minds, Lord, and our heart would be able to receive that which you are speaking to us, to our lives. Lord, that we would prepare and be ready, God, as you have asked Timothy here through Paul, to be ready, that we would do the work that you have called us to do. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for what you have done, God. Thank you have enabled us, Lord, to walk and to be holy as you are holy, God. And I pray that we would receive your love, receive that grace, receive, Lord, what you have given to us, God. And that we would be who you've called us to be, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the Timothy, Lord. Thank you for the Timothys that are here, God. And I pray, Lord, that today we would continue to grow, and this week we would continue to grow. And Lord, we know that you're leading us to triumph and victory. Help us, Lord, to follow you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, church, we got our after party going on in the other room. I encourage you to hang out with us over there. And if you need prayer for anything, feel free to come forward. God bless you guys and have a wonderful week.